It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. She's trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. She's trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.
Is this thing on? Welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, episode 134. Zaddy Zand, I have the honor and privilege of serving as your humble and oh so gracious host, Bryce Isaiah. I thank you so much for tuning in. Want to give a shout out to all of our first time listeners. What's up? Welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast and to the Purple Pants Posse. What's up? If you have not already, please make sure you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. You can find the Purple Pants Podcast. Hit subscribe, write your baby boy a review, and give me some 5 stars. You also can follow me on the YouTube at Bryce Isaiah, BRICEIZYAH, where you can get exclusive content like this video we about to talk about. So hit subscribe on YouTube and give me some thumbs up. But listen, y'all, I'm trying to contain myself because I am really excited about this special episode of the Purple Pants Podcast. We have an exclusive interview with the Zaddy himself, Zaddy Zander, aka Xander Hastings from Survivor Season 41. You know, here at the Purple Pants Podcast on our Survivor News segment, Wendell, the winner of Ghost Island and HGTV host, and Jack, contestant on The Circle Season 2, Emily. Y'all know we've been talking about the Survivors. You know we've been talking about the Zaddy Zans. And so it is only appropriate that we got Zaddy Zan on the podcast. And of course, I had to call my brothers, Jack and Wendell, to help me interview the legend, the GOAT, the man with the long hair, Zaddy Zan. So I'm really excited about this episode. So listen, I ain't going to keep running my gums, popping my mouth. We need to get to the episode, right? All right. So listen, without further ado, let's keep this menu rolling. Let's get to the meat and potatoes. Meat and potatoes.
It's a man who, it's a man you. Meat and potatoes like we're cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a man you. Meat and potatoes like we're cooking up a great stew.
Is y'all ready?
We ready.
Yeah. Get them ready. We got Zaddy Zander here. Woo, I don't know how to act. And keeping the menu rolling. Woo! Listen, y'all, I'm trying to keep it in. Wait, woo! 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Your baby boys, Wendell Holland and Jack Atkins, are joining me here. We are back with the Survivor News. And woo! It's a surprise, okay? You are listening to the Purple Pants Podcast, and I'm so excited that you guys decided to tune in. Make sure you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. Hit subscribe and show your baby boy some love and listen. Okay, because listen, God gave us eyes and we have sight. And if you want to watch what we are talking about, head over to YouTube, Bryce Isaiah. Hit subscribe and like, okay? I think you're going to like this video because I ain't putting no deodorant on today, y'all. And I feel like I am giving musty dusty, but it is for a very good reason. I am truly honored to have, let me just say it again in case ain't nobody hearing. I am truly honored to have the winner of season 41 in my heart. Okay. The fan favorite. Okay. Some may know him as Alex. Some may know him as Xander. Others may know him as Zaddy. I am so honored to welcome to the Purple Pants Podcast, Xander.
Thank you so much for keeping the energy high throughout the season. Not only like on the podcast, but with the Bryce and Wen Presents events. I'm sad that, you know, like couldn't go to any of them, you know, contractually. You're not supposed to be seen. But yeah, no, it definitely looks so fun. So I appreciate everything you guys do for the community.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. It's more me than Wendell, but you know, it is what it is.
Wait, Bryce, I got a question for you. Why do you say it's a special occasion to be musty, though?
Like, oh, I'm just saying I'm sweating profusely in my Pants podcast hoodie. And, you know, listen, I don't know how to act. I'm giving musty dusty today, but it's all right.
Okay. Oh, no.
Yeah, it's great to have you on here, Xander. If you would have told me a year and a half ago we'd be doing this interview, it's crazy. But yeah, shout out to Bryson Wendt for giving me the platform with you guys to talk Survivor through the whole season. Like Xander said, all the events. And it's so great to have you on here for a full season rundown.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Yeah, I just want to check in with Wendell because I know after Winners at War wasn't that great. So I just want to make sure because we were the star right now. You good? Everything okay with you?
Oh, man. I'm good, man. I'm
Wait, good. You're on Survivor?
It's good. There's only one true player of Survivor here, and his name's Xander.
No, Wendell's the only winner here.
Ding!
I need to find my bell, actually.
Don't worry, I'm covered today.
This is ready.
But anyway, listen, Xander, we are really excited to have you here. And before we get into the nitty gritty of Survivor, how are you?
I've been great. I've been spending time, you know, I took the break. I'm still in school right now, University of Chicago with Jack. And so to be back home in Florida, like a lot of the things that really make me happy, you know, going out paddleboarding or fishing, just being out in nature, kind of connecting back with like things that make me happy. A couple days ago, I went skydiving.
Yeah. And listen, I was getting ready to sue because listen, they need to take a lot more that's precious cargo. And that lady was me. She was I was her.
Yeah, can you tell us about that for the people who didn't see on your Instagram? You went skydiving and got blown off track or something and landed in a fan's yard. Can you give us the rundown for that?
Yeah, that was really exciting because this is my first time skydiving. And so like, you know, I was a little nervous, but like excited nervous. And it's like, oh, well, what could go wrong really? But we actually, this is the first time ever in like 6 years of this guy working skydiving that we've been blown off course. So we had to emergency land like a mile or so away from the airfield in like a neighborhood. And he's like, you know, tell me, like, turn your head, like, look out for power lines.
were you solo or was it tandem or?
Tandem. So the guy behind me, my hair's in the way. He's like having me look at, you know, tilt to the side. He's like, look out for power lines. We got to like land in this neighborhood. And so we come in pretty hot. I scrape up my knees and hands. Some people caught the blood in the Instagram picture. But like right as I get up, like I hear, are you Xander? And there's this, you know, lovely woman, Jody, who's filming the whole thing and was like, oh, my God, like it's a gift from like the heavens. It's so incredible.
That's what you get when you book Xander on Cameo. He goes to drop on into your neighborhood and say hi.
It was an event, honestly, like so much better. What kind of story can you get from skydiving that's like better than that? So I was really happy with it, even though it was dangerous. I was like, I'm usually very calm under pressure. So I was never nervous. I was kind of like, yeah, I mean, clearly like my tandem guy wants to live, which is a good sign.
Bryce, how would you have reacted if he landed in your
I would have been screaming and I would still be on the ground. Currently
be a lot mustier.
don't do that. But Xander, before we dive into the Survivor questions, I just, you know, the ladies, the men's, the thems, they want to know, are you single?
I am single.
Oh, yeah. Are you ready to mingle?
I suppose, yeah, I'm ready to mingle. Like I'm never a doors closed kind of guy. Oh. Can come from anywhere at any time. So I'm just, you know, keeping my eyes and ears open for whatever comes next. See what life hands me.
Listen, sometimes the back door's open too. But like, no, honestly, so what type of lady does Xander like? Because listen, I'm starting the podcast off hot. The people want to know. They got Bryce Isaiah and Zaddy Zan. They said Bryce asked the question.
Yeah. Bryce got a wig website pulled up right now. He wants to be like blondes or brunettes.
Or natural.
You don't have to answer if you don't want to.
Yeah. I mean, I'll answer with like a, you know, general, like, this is how I feel. I mean, it's all about the feeling, you know. If we click, if we connect and there's just some chemistry there, then like, that's what matters. I don't try and like, I don't have any type. It can come from anywhere. It's just like, if we feel it, then we feel it. And you know, why ignore that?
And would you date a fan of Survivor?
I've never really considered, like, you know, I don't think I should rule out dating a fan, but yeah.
And then my last thing before we get off, do you respond to the DMs?
I try as much as I can to respond to DMs and stuff.
Okay.
It certainly got hard towards the end of the show because that's when people really start picking up. And of course, it's like some of the DMs, it's like, oh, you know, if it's like, oh, you were so robbed, it's like, I can't respond to that.
It gets a lot.
Yeah. So towards the end, not as much, but I try and, like, you know, respond to comments and DMs as much as I can because I'm a fan too, you know. So it's always been like so incredible to watch like these great people like, you know, Wendell and yourself play Survivor and just like, yeah, Bryce, like, and watch the show and just see, like, it's art to me. So for me to be in a position where I can do that to someone else and like respond to a comment, respond to a message, like, that's really cool for me to be able to like give that back because Survivor's been giving to me for so many years.
I love that. And then my last question, if you were to be on a dating app, would it be a Tinder? Would it be a Hinge? Would
Bryce
it be,
wants to know where to find you. He's looking
it,
for you.
Would it be a Grindr? Like what? Like what?
Bryce, you have my number. You February. The date's planned, man.
Okay. All right. But now I just wanted to, you know, a little lukewarm opening up the, you know, just making sure you loose and ready. Because at the Purple Pants Podcast and, you know, the posse, we like to give people their flowers while they're here. And so I don't want you to feel like this is an interview. I want you to feel like you hanging out with your baby boy Jack, and that's an extension of me. And you got, you know, Wendeezy in the building.
Yeah, I great about you guys' energy.
I think we have a good energy, and having someone like you on, I feel like you're like a brother to the Purple Pants Podcast. So it's good to, you know, it's as much as Jack has been talking about you, as much as Bryce has been loving you, we just want to get right into it. I want to know a little bit about your application process. It's not like, we know that you and Jack are good friends and fraternity brothers. You guys had like a similar kind of grind. I think he was doing his circle thing while you were doing your Survivor thing. So if you could just tell us a little bit about that, what it was like.
Yeah, it was crazy. I got my first call back pretty like, I think pretty soon before coming back to Chicago. So it was like very fresh, very new to me. And I like didn't want to tell anyone because in my mind, I'm still like, oh, well, yeah, sure, I got a call back, but there's no way I'm getting on the show. You know, there's no way. And I don't want to give anyone false hope. I don't want to make it real in my mind until it's like far along. But Jack, one day we're walking to a restaurant to get some food together because we were like the only people living in the house at the time. And he gets a call. He has to, you know, leave from, he's, you know, cut off dinner, cancel.
Well, I forgot I was walking with you when I got that call. Yeah.
And so when Jack explained to me the nature of his phone call and that he had, you know, been interviewing for a television show position, it was like, oh, wow. Like, I was still in the position of like not wanting to say anything about mine because I didn't think that I was going to go very like far with it. But it ended up that, you know, Jack borrowed my computer and like, honestly, like fate, I'm really glad it happened. Jack saw an email. So, you know, I put him on the NDA and then we got to finally talk about it as a roommate. So yeah, it was just incredible that we were in the process together and applying at the same time, like some of the only two college students in the entire country applying for reality TV shows and in the same house during COVID when nothing else is going on.
Yeah. And to give a little more background on that, this was summer 2020. Obviously COVID was pretty rampant. So Xander and I were just both in Chicago. At some points, we were the only two people in our fraternity house, and we'd wake up every day and watch Survivor. Xander had kind of got back into it for Winners at War because you grew up watching with your family, but then you kind of stopped watching for a while, correct? And then he knew, since I've been as big in the fraternity for almost 3 years now, so he knew I was a big fan. So he's like, I'm going to check it back out. And then eventually, I think you kind of teased it almost like in the summer. You were like, maybe I'll like apply for this. I was like, dude, yeah, you got to apply for it. You can crush it. And then literally, yeah, my computer got stolen over the summer and I had like my final interview for the circle. So I asked Xander if I could borrow his. And when I opened it up, it was like in his email. And I wasn't like prying or anything, but like the top email was like Survivor callback. I was like, oh shit. So then I did my interview. And then later I was like, I didn't want, like, I'm obviously not going to say anything, but that's what's going down. Like, I was super excited. And then, yeah, I left for the circle at the end of September. And then by then, I mean, he still wasn't even confirmed for Survivor because they kind of do the process a little bit later. And then I think in like, what was it, like February, March, it started looking really good. And then you came over one day and you like, we went to my room and you told me like you were going on and I was so thrilled. And then, yeah, obviously Circle aired in April and then Survivor started up in September. So it's been a crazy year. Like I've said, I think I've said it before on the podcast, like you go back to us, there was days last summer before any of us were really deep in the process where we were watching, you know, half of a season a day for like a week straight. And just talking about, you know, how cool it would be to be on Survivor or The Circle or whatever. So, yeah, to me, that's like one of my crazy coincidence. This year, I mean, honestly, there's probably been maybe one or two other college kids on TV. And we just so happen to be big and little in the same fraternity at the same school. So, yeah, man, it's a great story. But, yeah.
Was it your first time applying, Xander?
Yeah, it was my first time applying. And like Jack was saying, there were just so many signs pointing to it. Like, I'm not, you know, the strongest believer in like the universe speaking, but, you know, you'd be a fool not to like at least, you know, entertain the idea of it because, you know, if it does happen to be that it's like fate or something, then, you know, take advantage of it. Because I met Jack and Jack showed me his buff collection the first time we met.
Wait, Xander. So the first time you met Jack, you're like, hey, my name's Xander. Jack's like, hey, can I show you my buffs?
I'm not saying I didn't show him the buffs, but we had our fraternity for, so I was a sophomore. He was a freshman. Our fraternity for, Bryce, stop laughing.
That's not her.
Bryce, it was a Kagyan buff.
Oh!
It was Spencer's buff because he was in our fraternity. So for our fraternity, we do like a beer pong tournament. And whoever was organizing it was like, oh, like, Jack, I'm going to pair you up with this kid, Xander, because he's from Jacksonville. Like, he's a Jaguars fan. I'm a Jaguars fan. And they said, at this point, Xander only drank hard alcohol because he's on a strict diet.
No, and I was like, you know what? I didn't drink alcohol at all. I was 20.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In theory. And I was, right. On that specific evening, I was trying to get a little bit active. So I was like, hell yeah, pair me up with him. We'll play along with the stronger, or, you know, we were young, but. And so we just, you know, we got inebriated. And then I think we were just talking about Survivor. We were talking about the Jaguars, just bonding on every level. So,
do you want to see my buffs? This is Kagyan. This is Guatemala. This is Ghost Island.
I got a Ghost Island buff.
Hey.
Who's on that season?
This is from China. My dad, his name is Ben. He got this for me for my birthday. Okay. My bad. Sorry.
It was like, oh man, this is like great because I hadn't seen the show since, you know, since I was pretty young. I think the last season I watched was maybe Millennials versus Gen X. I think that was the last one I'd watched. And so like Jack was into Survivor, my cross country team. They were watching Token Sheens when I walked in to hang out with them, and I was like, oh my God. And I remember the first episode that I watched with them was the one where they have the spinning panels and all the symbols, like the mathematical symbols, multiplication, division. And I'm like, oh, they should just turn them into numbers and remember the numbers. And then Stephen Fishback used that exact strategy and explained it. And everyone sitting on the couch just kind of turns. And I'm like, well, hell, maybe I should apply because that's like a, you know, pretty fun coincidence. And then also in quarantine, a girl I was seeing at the time was like very into it. And she was like, you know, long hair, you should apply. And it just seemed like a lot of things were pointing in that direction.
Yeah. I mean, I remember over the summer when you were kind of probably just starting the application process before I knew, like, our fraternity house is in like south side of Chicago. But Xander was out in the back lot like every day, no Hell shirt yeah. on, buff on.
Hell yeah.
Flowing, chopping coconuts. And I was like, that boy needs to be on Survivor.
South
like,
side. Hell yeah.
I was like, this kid loves that. So it was a great time and it was amazing how it worked out. But yeah, it's like you said, it's your first time applying. So you get out to Fiji, obviously. This was in March, right?
Yeah.
You have to do a little quarantine. What were some of your thoughts in the quarantine? And then what were your thoughts as the game sort of approached?
Yeah, I think quarantine, it's fun. I like haven't moved any of my stuff since like the last time I was home was when I got back from Fiji. So I've got all my Fiji stuff here. But I brought two books with me, which was not enough. I read them way too quickly. And it kind of just got me in this like very, I don't know, like storybook mindset of just
what books were that?
Hero's Journey. So it's The River of Doubt, which is a story of Teddy Roosevelt discovering a river in South America, which you'd like really never know happened unless you read about it. Pretty amazing. He almost died, like half of his, half the people on his journey did. And it was like super dangerous. It hadn't been completed again until 80 years later, which is just like a testament to how incredible like the feat was. And then A River Runs Through It, which is all about fly fishing in Montana. So I don't know. I just had like very like hero's journey, like want to go out and like, I wanted to find my story. I wanted to know what my story was. And like, of course you have this whole life story that's your personal narrative that nobody gets to see. And that's going to come into play on camera because, you know, in casting, that's what they're asking about is like, what is your life story and how is it going to come into play on Survivor? So for me, it was all about just being open-minded, not trying to like strategize things exactly, but just knowing generally how I wanted to approach things and how I wanted to, you know, be open-minded, like people I, you know, obviously little observations in pregame. But other than that, just like trying to keep an open mind and like focusing on like my strengths and my weaknesses. I think that's one of the greater things you can do because there's like this idea in the Survivor fandom that there's like one type of winner that's like, you know, the dominant strategist who's like manipulating people and beasting challenges when really like a winner is just someone who can focus on what's strong about them, their strengths, and know their weaknesses and use those to their advantage. It's all about knowing yourself.
So in that pregame situation, you kind of did like self-discovery beforehand. I feel like obviously during the show, everyone kind of learns a thing or two about them or even after the show, but it's smart of you to kind of work to understand your strengths and have that understand how others are going to potentially perceive you in the game and sort of prepare for that. And then obviously soon after that, you hop into the game. You're on the Yasa tribe. You're with Liana, Evie, Tiff, Voce, Abraham. Can you walk us through some of your thoughts? You know, hitting the boat for the marooning, first hitting the beach. Like, what was your sort of initial perception of your tribe? Who would you want to work with? Things like that.
Yeah, I think like my initial perception, at least my feeling and the energy was all just like grateful, honored, like such a treat to be here, like on the beaches of Fiji, especially after COVID year where it's like we were trapped in the house and couldn't really do anything. And it's all limit this control. Like you just, I felt a little stuck. I felt a little trapped. So to be completely let free, it was like a bull in the pen, you know, bucking around. And I finally get to just go out and like, you know, everything is within my own control to like save myself someday or try and win a challenge or try and find an idol. And it's a lot of agency out there on the island. So I was super excited and everything was just, you know, like complete euphoria. And then once you start with the marooning, I started to try and like glean some things from my tribe mates. Abraham and Tiffany spoke. They were the people to speak at the marooning for us. And you could kind of tell through little mannerisms and stuff that, you know, shelter building is going to be one of the first things that we do. And it didn't seem like Abraham and Tiffany were really going to work very well together. It seemed like they would probably clash. So that was like initially what I was thinking is, you know, look for the big personalities and point them at each other, you know, have them clash. You want to like try and stir up drama where you're not involved and you can be on the sidelines and maybe even talk to other people about like, oh yeah, you know, like that's a little ugly. We should probably pick a side.
So I hear you talking about those big personalities, Xander, like who were the people closest on the tribe that like you were closest with?
Yeah. So everyone was, you know, we're all super fans. They're casting now for people who know the show very well. And in that same vein, it's not like you have players who are just behaving like they would in their everyday life. Now you have people who are all playing like optimal strategy. So everyone's making friends with everyone. It's all kind of fake. It's all kind of real. We're all like playing each other, which almost like puts everyone on an equal playing field, unless you can do something to try and like lower yourself. So my strategy, knowing that a lot of the people were going to be so super fans, so like manipulating, you know, feed them what they think they want. Feed them that like, oh, I'm the young curly haired guy who's like, I want to be a team player. I want to be like here for the group. Like, use me. I'm your number. I'm kind of just that young guy who you can take advantage of, per se. And so like, I knew from all the self-reflection that I had done, and Jax probably had a little bit of experience with that, but like my look, people tend to think that I'm like a tool.
Make you say that, Xander?
I don't know what it is, but like, I'll be at party.
You say I look like a tool?
I guess.
No, I totally agree.
but it's just,
I disagree.
Like, it's like any kind of interaction. I'll be like talking to someone, and maybe 2 minutes in, a lot, this happens, like, it almost sounds like a joke, but it just happens all the time, and it's not original. Like 2 minutes in, people will be like, oh my God, like, I can't believe you can actually hold a conversation. Like, I thought you were such a douche. And it's like, oh wow, like, I'm honored. Thanks.
Well, just for clarifications, I never thought you were a douche, but I feel like the first time that we met in New York, 5 minutes into our conversation, we did have that same type of conversation where I just was surprised at your, not so much, oh, that you can hold a conversation. I just was surprised at your energy. I was surprised at like the realness, the connection, the like the eye contact, the like the fact that you like listening to me. Like, I knew that you were friends with Jack, and I met Jack, and Jack was aloof. Like, you know, Jack, like,
ding, hit that bell.
Like, I expected.
he's gone.
it was just so different when I met you. I was just like, wow. Not that I didn't think that you couldn't hold a conversation or anything, but your energy is what really shocked me the most. And I felt like then that took our conversation to a whole nother place. But
yeah, I loved our conversation. That was a great example of like, you know, how it's like, that's a very like great example of a better way to approach, like, oh, you know, like, I appreciate, you know, more that I was like paying attention, rather than like, oh, like, I thought you were just a douche that like didn't have anything going on, which is what I more, you know, frequently get. So knowing that, it was easy that like, people are going to start making assumptions, especially, you know, like, that's all you can do in pregame, is you're just looking at people and trying to get as much information without any actual substance. So I knew a lot of people would latch onto the idea that I was just like a bit of a dummy, especially if I gave them reason to believe that I was. So talking more like, when they sent me on the journey, everyone's like, oh yeah, Xander's the most trustworthy person. He's the person that we want to send out to the island. It's because I was always talking about like, yeah, like, I'm so excited. I was showing like, it's not that I'm like lying. I'm just showing one side of my personality, to be the excited, young, like, energetic guy who's like, I want to help the team. And I really do. I want to win challenges with the team. And, you know, maybe it's possible that like having a public shared advantage type thing would be, I was talking about, you know, like, hey guys, everyone goes off and looks for idols, but you know what? I say that we use it together, because then come merge or come swap, we could figure out some kind of group way to deal with it. And it's not that that wasn't in the cards for me. It's just that I knew how people would perceive that as like, oh, well, this guy's just a dummy. Like, he's just going to kind of puppy dog follow around. Like, we can use him. So I had a lot of people who I knew I was the subservient position, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine with lowering myself, minimizing myself, being the secondary person, because I don't really need like the ego stroke to be like, I'm in control, you know?
Yeah. Well, sticking with relationships, I guess we saw a lot of the Leanna Xander dynamic out there. I was wondering how it really was between you guys out there on the island, and then watching it back. I know you saw some things that you might not have seen out there. How did you receive some of the stuff that you saw, and how are you guys now?
Yeah. So initially on the island, I think I tried to make connections through like my energy and talking with people. And something about like Leanna and I's first conversation, you know, she thinks that it was like, it was both of us interpreted it to be that the other was holding back, or that the other wasn't that interested in working. You know, like, I'd ask some questions and She'd give like one word, like quick answers. And I'm sure she felt the same way that I wasn't giving her, you know, the same kind of feedback. And you know what? I bet it's that we were pretty intimidated by each other. We've both talked ad nauseum on the show about how the other is, you know, a shark laying deep below the water, like clearly athletic, clearly smart. You know, she's telling me Georgetown, McKinsey internship. It's like, okay. She's like, you know, she's got a lot going for her, and yet nobody's really paying attention to that. So I think mutually, we both saw each other as very big threats that other people weren't paying attention to because of our age. And, you know, that's probably why we got cast, is because despite our age, we are very forward thinking, very ambitious, very, you know, like would make good Survivor players. So for me, Liana was always someone who like, she's the kind of person who, when all the big personalities take each other out, she's the one left standing when the dust settles to take the crown. And so I always knew that she was going to be one of those players. Not because the biggest sharks, you know, the ones with their fins way up above the water, those aren't going to be the ones to win. They'll get taken out. Those are the big threats. But the ones who are lurking below, those are the ones who will be there at the end to take the win. And yeah. Yeah, our relationship now is very nice. You know, she's a great person. It's been really fun watching it back. Obviously, I was in the bar with Jack when we saw the moment where she said she hates.
Let's hear it.
I was on the floor. I was dying laughing. I mean, like I can appreciate like the show as a story, as like Shakespearean, and that's just like the best TV that you could ask for. It's like old school. Like that's such a great moment. It's iconic. So I was cracking up. I can so appreciate that in the heat of competition when, you know, I'm up there, and I'll admit, like, I loved that challenge. I walked into that challenge with the biggest smile on my face. And I was like, oh my God, like, this is my favorite challenge. I've only ever dreamed of doing this. So when I'm up there, you know, clinging to the post and I'm like smiling, I bet that's just absolutely nauseating for her. So I don't.
The lie detector, that's a lie for me though.
Okay. It's like, I think, honestly, my unrelenting optimism for a lot of things in the game did piss people off, because it's like, why am I enjoying this so much? I shouldn't be. I should be hungry. I'm on the bottom. Nobody wants to give me any power. Everyone's saying you're the next to go. So why would I be happy? But that's just me, as I approach everything with an unrelenting positivity. And it's like, you're not going to bring me down. I'm loving this. I'm loving that I'm out here in the jungle. I know that I can try and win a challenge, that I've got my strength. I trust myself. So like, you can't bring me down. And I think that smile on my face represents the fact that I just wasn't someone that people could like get. I was kind of like a thorn in a lot of people's side.
And she hated it.
She did hate it. Yeah. But now we're all cool. You know, she was like, hey, like I'm in Chicago. We were going to hang out. She's awesome. No hard feelings. I know that like social media, it's so, so vulnerable to go on a show and to just put yourself out there. So I really like, don't want any hate towards Liana. She's an amazing person. And, you know, everyone should just appreciate that that's an awesome TV moment, that it was, we were in the game out there on the island. She was just caught up in the heat of competition. And I'm a competitive person. I get it. I love that. So,
yeah, we love a good rivalry during the show, but I feel like in the most cases after the show, you know, the dust settles, you can kind of just wipe it off and be friends. So it's good to hear that that's the case. You just said a little bit though, something that may have bothered your competitors was how much of a thorn you were in their side, like your refusal to kind of ever give up. And in the pre-merge, the Asa tribe kind of started off a little bit messy, lost the first challenge, lost the second challenge, and you found both an advantage and an idol that had drawbacks, especially that idol that took away your vote for several votes pre-merge up until the merge when you were able to activate it. This season, the twists were a little bit different in that they had these drawbacks. And you know, before you open the idol, that it's a beware advantage. As someone who held a lot of advantages up multiple times throughout the season, how did that sort of dilemma of the beware element change the way you approached it? And how did that factor into sort of your underdog story, especially at pre-merge?
Yeah. So seeing the beware advantage, I was very much in the mindset of like, this is the first time it's ever happened. I'm sure that nobody else has found one yet, because like I was being very proactive about, you know, Liana was like, hey, do you think Voce's looking for an idol? And I was like, yeah. Like you go check that way, I'll go check this way. And it was very inconspicuous. Found it like very quickly. So I knew that I was going to be one of the first to find it. And it's like, you know, new era, new season. I could be the first person in Survivor history to get a chance to, you know, be dealt this card. So no matter what it is, I really didn't think it would be that bad, because I thought if they were going to take a step towards drawbacks for idols, then they were going to try and make it something moderate. But they really did. They took a leap in terms of punishment, because the fact that nobody else found the idols meant that I went the pre-merge without a vote. It's like really hard to explain how vulnerable of a position that is unless you're out there, because the most basic right you have is your vote, and you don't even have that. You can't even say someone, hey, I'll vote with you. Like, I have no leverage. I have absolutely nothing. So I had to take a huge pivot. And rather than say, like, I have leverage in terms of, like, we could work together, it was, again, like, thankfully, I had been playing that sort of, you know, younger guy type. And it worked out perfectly, because then I could be like, hey, guys, I found an advantage. It'll stifle my power for a bit, but it's going to be great when the swap comes. Great when the merge comes. We're going to work together. We're going to pull off some crazy, you know, Russell Hance Parvati move, and we're going to get to the end together. And if I just keep showing this naivety of like, we're going to get to the end together, we've all got this, then they're going to think like, oh, it's not as threatening that he has these advantages. So it wasn't really much of a question. I rolled the dice. I rolled the dice in terms of like letting people know so much of what I was doing. And by being so openly honest, they see me as less threatening. They see it as dumb. And so the interesting thing about the idol itself is that I got walked up on with my, you know, book manual of instructions for the idol. And I'm like, I was actually taking time to like read it and make sure I had everything right. Like, am I going to have to say this at every challenge? Is it only when someone else finds one? So I was like reading it thoroughly. And then Voce and Evie come up. And I knew that it'd be a way worse look for me to stuff something in my pocket than it would be to say, hey, guys, like I had to make the first move. I had to think on my feet and go right to them and say, hey, guys, I found this thing. Like, then they're not putting it in their mind that I'm untrustworthy or that I'm going to lie to them. They're thinking, oh, well, maybe he's a little too trusting, which is good for me.
Yeah. And thankfully, you only had to go one vote without your vote, because you guys ended up pulling out some close challenges due to your challenge performance. But it definitely, I feel you being that vulnerable pre-merge with no vote with a tribe that has been losing, is definitely a dicey situation.
Yeah. And the hardest thing about that vote was that Voce was my closest ally at the time. And I knew the instant that I didn't have a vote that it was going to be me or him, because Tiffany, Evie, and Liana seemed to be pretty tight. And I knew that given my strategy of like lowering myself and minimizing myself, I needed to find someone who was a bigger target than myself, which Voce is brilliant. You know, he's a neurosurgeon at UChicago, go Maroons. And so we had bonded a lot over like, he's very intelligent. He's very, you know, like calculated, and people could see that. A lot of the women on our tribe could see that. So for me, all I had to do is go to Tiffany and say, you know, hey, like Voce's got a final two deal with Evie, and hey, like Voce's a neurosurgeon at like one of the best schools in the country. He's brilliant. He's calculated. He's going to be dangerous at the merge. And he's also someone who, you know, it doesn't seem like he chooses himself, you know, very intelligently over any of us any step of the way. Whereas my character role that I was giving to them is that like, no, I'm for the team. I'm not going to choose selfish. I'm going to choose, you know, pro us. Whereas Voce is a very like, you know, someone who's smart enough to play for themselves. So it was like, the move then was get the target off of me and put it on to someone else and throw someone under the bus, which it's sad that it was Voce because he was the person I was closest to. But it definitely helped that we went on the sweat challenge together, because that was a moment where it's like, all right, Voce and I isolate ourselves. Like he said, you know, it's a weenie move. The difference between his move for going on the sweat challenge and my move for going on the sweat challenge is that I felt like I could quickly make bonds with the women maybe better than he could, because he's clearly a threat. He's very openly intelligent.
So what I love about this is like, this is all like pre-merge stuff. And shout out to Voce for being my third boot brother. Okay. And Jack, I'm not sure if you know this, but I never made the merge before. So
South Africa.
I am curious to know, Xander, like, what was it like when you realized, and I know that it was a, you made the merge, you kind of didn't make the merge, but when you realized that I accomplished this, I made the merge, what was that like?
I mean, it was incredible. So I knew based off of the way that the idol was phrased, you can, I mentioned it in one of the tribals, I think it is, but I figured, yeah, I said that there might not be a swap because the way that the idol works, there's no way they're putting me on another island for me to find another idol where I lose my vote. And then I've got two. It was going to be something where we stay on each of the beaches and each person has to find their own idol. So I figured another swap wasn't coming, which was a bad thing for me because it meant that we were going to have to go so hard in the challenges because Luvu was just unbelievably stacked. And Ua had some pretty strong characters themselves too. So I knew that it was just going to be such an uphill battle. And like, I was going to have to put like 1,000% into everything. And to really see that come to fruition, and oh my god, I mean, just the elation that they capture in like every pre-merge Yasa win, that was so unbelievably real because it was like it's a life or death challenge every single time, and it was always the fear of like, oh man, this could be the end of my Survivor journey if I don't just make this, you know, beanbag. So having that much ride in like, you know, a beanbag layup and some money, it's a pretty big deal. And then to get to the merge,
money.
Yeah, money.
Tribal.
I love JD's awesome. He's great. He'll be back and he's phenomenal. He's got a lot more to show. But yeah, like getting to the merge, it was like, hey, I made it this far. I'm going to be so appreciative. And this was like, the merge was kind of the point, you know, in casting, it's like, well, yeah, but you're like a late pre-merge player or the first merge boot. Like everybody said in their predictions or, you know, people giving me advice or even like casting, it's like you are the first merge boot or you're the one right before the merge. Like that's where people like me go. It's either you take them out at the pre-merge because you want to reduce the amount of threats later on, or you're just like, hey, it's the merge. Let's target someone easy who everyone knows is a threat. So I knew that this was like, if I could make it past this little hump, especially with getting the idol activated and having my extra vote, that I would be able to really make a deep run. I just needed to make it past like the first two tribals.
So real quick, Xander, though, you said like, if you make it past the merge and you the first merge boot, that means you an easy vote out, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Hello, Wendell.
He's saying like...
like you were a big target, not an easy vote out into the sense that like you're rolling over and dying. I mean, easy in the sense that like you can go, hey, like let's get out Wendell because he's a great player. So it makes sense. Everyone can agree.
It's like an Aussie or like a Joe Anglin type of archetype where it's like, all right, well, they're great at challenges. I mean, even when Xander and I were talking before you went out there, it was sort of like, yeah, that could be a dangerous spot for you because everyone's going to know you're a great player and they might just band together and take you out. And with that being said, going into the merge, obviously the whole hourglass twist shook out, but at the same time, you're still meeting everybody on the beach despite being in two separate groups. Two-thirds of the people in the game at that point were people you hadn't interacted with because they were on other tribes. What was that sort of dynamic like, having had no swap, meeting all these different players from three different tribes, especially with the severe number imbalance, with Luvu having six people, Uwa having two? What were your thoughts hitting the merge beach?
Yeah, that's the thing that I think it comes across the least on TV is that element of like, I don't know these people. I've never spoken to like, you know, 80% of them. And the only thing they've ever heard me say is I truly believe butterflies are just dead relatives saying hi. That's all they've heard me say. So they think I'm like, you know, what is it? Fast Times at Ridgemont High. They think I'm like Stracoli or whatever his name is. They think I'm like, yeah, man, you know, like butterflies are just dead relatives saying hi. They think I'm some pothead stoner. So to try and make like...
Ain't nothing wrong with that, though. Listen, ain't nothing wrong
with that. So to try and strategize with a bunch of people who are already starting to rule me out, I was kind of at a disadvantage. Everybody knew about my idol. Everybody knew about my extra vote. I figured that my target would be huge. Something that they really didn't show either is that, you know, Jeff always prompts everyone. He's talking about like, well, what do you think of the other tribe? What do you think about people being voted out? And there were a couple times where people would be like, well, clearly like Xander's carrying the team on Yasa, or he's like running the show on Yasa. And it's like really wasn't helping my case. It was either like I was at the bottom of the three women or I was running the three women and people on the other tribes didn't know. It was the case that I was on the bottom very hard, like very much so. But like for other people, it's like, wow, Alexander's really having to put in a lot of work. to make these wins happen. So it just continued to raise my threat level. And by the time it came to the merge, it was very much at like a boiling point.
So I love that. And what I also like, post-merge, pre-merge, when you first got out to that beach and you like took a look at the cast and you really saw that like, oh my God, wow, this is like one of the most diverse cast ever in Survivor history. Like, what did you think of that? And had you had any knowledge of the diversity campaign that had been going on prior to your season? And like, do you feel like that in any way influenced your game or changed your gameplay?
Yeah, so I knew about the 50% BIPOC mandate, and I thought that it wasn't going to be a problem for me because like a big part of my life story was like, you know, Jacksonville's a great place, but you don't get as much cultural experience as the big city. It's like very much, you know, a little homogenous, a little harder to find varied cultures. When I was making my college decisions, I was big in between Dartmouth or UChicago. And a huge deciding factor was Chicago's an amazing city. I love strangers. I love culture. I want to see the museums and meet people from different walks of life and different places among the planet. Like I'm, you know, a very thorough traveler. I'm a huge budget traveler. I road trip all the time. I live out of my car, and it's like amazing some of the people that you'll meet. I mean, like just fun, random strangers. Like when it started hailstorming on Pike's Peak and I hitchhiked with two Texan ostrich farmers who had just discovered marijuana because they fought a battle with cancer. It's like, those people are so cool. And like, I would have never met them. And it's just fun to like interact and hear people's stories. Like that's the coolest thing is you don't have to go out and find out that like the apple falls and that's gravity. You can hear about someone else experiencing it and learn from other people. And it's almost like a journalist approach to like, I want to see what these people have to offer me. Like they've all got such incredible stories and it's Survivor. So of course, casting is picking the best of the best, cream of the crop, like amazing people. And if I can just like figure out what it is that they have to teach me, that's going to bond us really well.
I think that's incredible. Your willingness to be open to other people and want to learn about other people in their walks of life. And on the island, we saw you connect with Danny, and that was a pretty awesome connection. I just wanted to know what kind of brought you guys together and what was the nature of that relationship?
Yeah, I love talking to Danny. Danny's a great guy. He's very, you know, very level-headed, very calm. He reminds me of my dad. So like I gravitated to him because he was so like calm, sturdy, just like an amazing presence to talk to. I mean, like, how could you not just want to grab a beer with him? He's like the coolest dude. He's got such incredible stories. You know, we talked about that he played at LSU on the journey. So I figured, you know, LSU, if he's playing college ball at LSU, he might have gone pro. And so we started talking about the Jags, and, you know, he's talking about how the Jags are the graveyard for good players. And so we're joking about the Jags and about, you know, some of our favorite players, what the season might look like coming up. And, you know, a lot of LSU players like Chark and from the Jags. So it was fun to talk to him about that and talk to him about life, his wife, his baby, and just like how he had, you know, really made, you know, without telling me that he was an NFL player, telling me that, you know, he'd definitely helped their life situation, that he'd been making his way up in the world and providing for his wife and providing for his kid. And one of the more moving moments for me on the island was when he explained to me how he won the balance challenge with the rod and the ball bounced on it. So I thought I had that challenge because I know that like I can get in this zone that's just unbreakable, where I'm like so hyper-focused, so calm, so balanced, just like in the moment. And Danny, you could hear Jeff talking about how Danny was shaking. And so I figured the moment I heard a drop, it would be an indication that I was like fine. And, you know, I was so like quiet. I was playing this like, you know, very soft, like piano music in my head, playing like Claire de Lune.
Who are you?
Was it like, was that what you're playing? I don't know.
something like that. But, you know, the wind's blowing through and Jeff is, you know, he's giving his smooth whisper talk. And that's when everything gets really calm.
Are you getting an impression of that?
Yeah. So Jeff will be like, you know, listen to the Fijian air, like the breeze, focus. You've got nothing else. You're right here. In this moment, you're on Survivor. And so Jeff will like start talking like that. And then, you know, it's almost like glass. Like I just had this like glass around me and I was just, It was weird. I was very in the zone. But when Ricard dropped, it was like, whoa. And I just kind of shot back and like the glass shattered and I dropped. And Danny's still staying strong, even though Danny's right next to Ricard. So I talked to Danny about it because as a competitor, I want to know like what I could have done differently. And his strategy, whereas mine was quiet and peaceful and balanced and zen.
Danny had rock music.
He was saying the names of his loved ones over and over and over again, loud as he could in his head. You know, he was just repeating his wife's name and his daughter's name and his father's over and over and over again in his head and blocking everything out. And that was like such an incredible moment to hear that, like, you know, it was very nice to like be humbled in that way. Like, if I'm going to lose a challenge, that's a great way to lose a challenge because it's a cool thing to hear, cool thing to learn. He's an incredible dude. You know, I felt very close to him out there and you know, very much like a coach, father figure type mentor kind of guy.
I have bad flashbacks about that challenge because on Ghost Island I had an advantage and I still got beat at that challenge. Oop. So I just want to stay on you and Danny for a little bit longer. You guys had a very powerful moment at Tribal where he called you an ally. Mm. And as a Black man in America, I know how important it is to have allies, especially in the white community. I had a very profound moment with my buddy Dom, where he spoke on the Ahmaud Arbery situation a year ago. And he went to his Instagram and he spoke about it. And I was just surprised that he would speak up like that. And that was my deep allyship moment. So when Danny called you an ally out there, I was like, wow, he has a lot of respect for that guy. And then you stepped up and you recognized your privilege at Tribal Council and you spoke about that. I just wanted to know like what that moment was like for you in Tribal, for you two to have that kind of connection right there.
Yeah. I mean, it was so real world. It was so real. And like, it gets me on the fritz emotionally because, you know, I went out there to play a game and then to hear these people's stories, and Deshaun, he's such a, you know, powerful orator. He's such a great speaker, and Danny too. And, you know, just everyone out there, and to hear how much this meant to them and everything that this like meant outside in the real world too. It's like, wow. Like, this is, you know, all you could ever ask for as a human being is to be like a part of something bigger, to be like more than yourself. And so to like be able to, you know, I know that like a lot of people that look like me are often like a little either, you know, rude. It makes sense why people think like I'm a little bit douchey, is because people think being like a dick is being cool, when that's quite the opposite. Like, if you're confident in yourself, then you're going to be caring and empathetic and want to work with people and get to know people, because you don't have to prove to other people that, you know, you're confident and cool. Like, you want to like help other people. So for me, it was amazing that like, I, you know, got to meet these incredible people and be a part of their story and be a part of something greater, and maybe even like help change the, you know, the course of that toxic masculinity, like, yeah, that stereotype of like, oh, to be cool, you got to be a dick. Like, no, to be cool, you got to be caring, because it shows that you're not afraid of like making yourself vulnerable because you're confident in yourself.
Absolutely.
But before you go into that, Jack, definitely. And not even about like the toxic masculinity. It's just about, I feel like in that moment, I felt like for me, what I got out of it was like, you know, you recognizing your privilege as like a white man, and you get to go out here and just play survivor. And like, you know, and I felt like in that moment with Liana, with Deshaun, with Danny, really saying like, it's for us, it ain't like we don't have that privilege. We don't have that luxury to just come out here. And I so felt it on my own season, because I didn't feel like I had the privilege just to come out there and just to be myself. And so for me, like, just to hear you say that, like, you know, just to hear you acknowledge that and speak upon that, because I feel like a lot of problems or issues come about is when like people don't recognize their own privilege. And so for me, it was just really a very powerful moment for just to hear someone like you say that. Has that at all altered like your way of thinking, how you see other people, like after Survivor?
Yeah. I mean, I think that the greatest thing about it is that like that was from the heart and that's like truly how I feel. But just to like put it into words and have a conversation about it, it's certainly like, it solidifies it going forward. Like, that's something that I want to be intrinsic about me. I don't want to let go of that. I don't want to forget that. So it definitely, like, later on in life, I think it's going to be, and now currently, it's like, I, you know, I'm acknowledging just like the impact that we all have on each other and how we should be working on creating a better society and being better to each other. And it's just, yeah, it was a beautiful moment. I'm so grateful for that.
It brought me to tears.
Yeah, it was a great moment. And watching that and watching you in that situation, you articulated so well a lot of the things that I think being in a similar position as you, like a similar, I mean, like similar points of privilege, like going to the same school. So, and just the whole moment was fantastic. Now that we're getting like the latter half of the podcast, I think it's a good time to discuss a couple lighter topics. And also you were talking about a challenge and getting into the zone. It's tradition here that during some of the podcasts, we like to do a little challenge, a little competition. So I think while we talk about some of these more fun topics, I think we do a little challenge. If you guys have like a water bottle or anything, I got this right here. We'll do a little head balancing comp. Oh, he's got the one from the island. Bryce is going to grab one.
I got my wine glass, but I don't know if this is a good idea.
Are you going to sit this one out?
Nah, this is too aggressive. I have a water bottle.
All right.
You can do the wine bottle, play the classical music. No, you got to, you know, the names of your loved one just over and over and over again.
I'm going to sing a Jack Harlow song in my head. Bryce, where are you at?
I'll do a wine bottle.
Mine is a strap.
I'll do a wine bottle. All right, for those listening that aren't watching the YouTube, Bryce can't find a bottle. Zaddy Xander has his official water bottle from the island. Ooh. Jack has an orange water bottle.
Yeah. Bryce, Bryce, you got an extra padding on your head, Bryce?
Bryce looked like he's cheating.
It got a little cold.
A glass cup, Bryce?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So.
Oh, they kept it on your brim of your hat. What's this?
Immunity and reward.
Oh.
Oh, you guys are already up there. All right. Ready? Survivors ready? You have 3 seconds to let go. Three.
This bottle's bad.
One. Oh.
Oh, nice. Oh.
And did I win? You won,
right? That was tough, Brad. I think we used the wrong bottles this time. I didn't even have time to go Jeff Probst on you guys. Feel the soft noise of the Jacksonville air.
Did I win?
Is that your first challenge win of the podcast, Bryce?
Don't do that, Jack.
Some of the points we want to talk about, Bryce and I, we've debated in the previous podcast, who's the president of the Zaddy Xander fan club?
Oh.
Now, I for me, I give Bryce, he could be the president of the Zaddy fan club, I'll be the president of the Xander fan club. But Xander, real quick, if we're building the Zaddy Xander empire, can you give us three each a role kind of in your cabinet?
And yeah, also, just keep in mind, Xander, this podcast can end real quick.
I'm thinking like this is like the founding Zothers, you know?
Founding Zothers. He know how to answer them questions.
George Zaddington.
Christopher Gazumbis. That was not good. That was
my, hey guys, my Zother bought me this buff. Have you ever seen this Kagiyama buff?
Maybe we can get Christian Hubicki on board as the what is it? The
comptroller?
Comptroller of Zaddy Town.
Yes.
Also, real quick though, Xander, if I say I have the know-it-all to know that I would have liked you, do you know what I meant by saying know-it-all? Just because I like to just clear that up as well on this podcast while we got you.
No, I don't.
Xander!
You're fired.
Right, it's a wherewithal. Or the knowledge.
Or the knowledge. There's another word.
Combining them.
In Bryce language, it's the know-of-all.
You can combine Xander and Zaddy, but you can't combine knowledge and wherewithal.
My dad said I could.
Did your dad give you that bump, Bryce?
He did.
Yeah. Bryce, I know you wanted to ask Xander about a little routine he does, if you want to tap into that. I know the men, the women, the thems, as you said.
Yes. I also want to know, Xander, what was your thoughts on like the actual Zaddy thing, Zaddy with an X, like becoming a thing on Twitter?
Yeah, I don't go on Twitter as much as I probably should, but yeah, I mean, like I think it's fun. I love playing along with it. It's great to just like anything that gets the community involved and like makes it more fun and keeps Survivor going. You know, 20 more years. Let's just keep it going.
Listen, 20 more years. My odds of that are good. Also, the gays seem to love Xander. Why do you think that is? And do you embrace the love from the LGBTQ plus community?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I think it's because like I'm just I like really firmly believe that if you're comfortable in your sexuality, it shouldn't matter what someone else's sexuality is. You can be comfortable around them. So
Xander, say it again. The toxic masculinity in the back.
Right. Yeah. So there were nights where like, you know, Ricard and I always slept in the shelter together. And so like we'd have our own corner and Ricard would be shivering when I wake up. So I'd take my, you know, I'd take my jacket and I'd wrap him up and we'd get the warmth going. And like, that's not a bad thing for me. I'm not like uncomfortable with that because, you know, I'm comfortable in my sexuality. He's comfortable in his. And, you know, it's not like you have to be worried or scared about that. It's so foreign to me to think that people would, you know, that like showing homophobia would be like a confidence thing. It's more of like a fear thing. That's because you're insecure.
Come on, talk about it. Come on. If you're curious, you're curious. You don't got to be scared of that. I love that, Sandra. But also, because I, despite what Jack say, was the president of the Zaddy Club on the Twitter. Okay. Jack was an official officer, but so I like to keep things in check. And, for me, if I consider you my friend, I don't play about you on the Twitter, on the Instagram, and Spicy Brycey comes out. So like, you know, I'm very protective of my friend Wendell. Somebody talk about Wendell, I listen, I go off. Somebody talk about Jack, I retweeted. But for you, like, I try to keep my ears to the streets about like what people were thinking and saying about you. And for me, what I also thought was just so interesting was like, people loved your hair. Like, they wanted to know, like, what was Xander's hair routine on and off the island? But wait. Before you answer that, okay, let me just tell you what my my hair routine is, okay? Because you ain't the only one.
So what's your routine, Bryce?
Okay, yeah. That could do a little curly. Listen, my routine is you plop it on. Okay. What's good, Zan? Okay. What's good, like Xander?
Wow.
Xander, give him some help. What is
my dad got me this Kagyan Buster.
Yeah, I mean, like, I should definitely patent the process, but no, it's just salt. Yeah. Growing up, so like I had short straight hair and then I started growing it out, started using, you know, a little less shampoo, just not like globbing it on. I think a lot of people take like, you know, just like a ton and just like really rub it in thoroughly. I'm moderate with it, about it, and then salt. So like if I'm back home in Florida, I jump in the ocean and I don't wash my hair out. I let the salt curl it up. And then if I'm in Chicago, I get a little salt spray or like, yeah, I mean, I guess you could just throw some salt, the salt shaker in there, whatever works. But the salt definitely makes it curl.
Okay. Well, yeah, but well, this thing kind of stay curled.
Bryce, what's your hair routine under there?
First of all, this is my natural hair real quick. I've been growing it out. But Xander, can I get a hair flip, and Jack and Wendell, if you guys could judge who has the better hair flip.
Yeah. That was the fun thing about watching the season back is like how many shots they just got of me in the water, taking my hair. Like,
oh, there it is. That was a good one.
Wait, no, he got it.
That was a good one.
Do it one more time, Xander. Hold on. Give me a second.
Don't, you can't do it yet, Xander. We have to wait for this fool to come back. For those, listening and not watching, Bryce Isaiah all of a sudden has long curly hair.
Xander's. All right, go ahead.
Oh my goodness.
Do it again, Xander. Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Okay. Jack, what was that?
I'm giving that a 9 out of 10, and it's only missing a point because if it was wet from the ocean, it would look that much better.
Okay.
I'm giving it a 9.25.
Oh, okay. All right. Is it my
job, right?
Well, Wendell, describe to the people that are listening what me and Xander are doing, because you know we gotta, you know.
Okay, yes. For those listening and not watching. Xander has his natural, curly, wonderful, luxurious hair flowing down his cheeks, looking wonderful. And when I look at Bryce, he has a what looks to be an official Kageyan buff on his head, holding down a hair that goes to his shoulders. And it looks like it looks kind of ombre because it's dark at the roots and it's lighter as it grows out.
Asymmetrical bang.
It looks like Xander's hair if he was a distressed middle-aged mother.
Okay, now we're doing a competition of who has the better hair flip. Now, Jack, to recap, you gave Xander a 9 point.
Xander got a 9 from me and a 9.25 from Wendell for a total 18.25. So we're going to see if Bryce can top it.
Okay. Now, Xander, can you give me like some Baywatch hums or like, you know, a little something that I could like really get the, you know, just really get in the spirit of this?
Yeah. I'll try. Like,
okay.
The Baywatch song.
Okay.
Maybe a little Survivor song.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
Oh no, Bryce just poured water on his head. For those of you not watching, go to YouTube right now and watch this fool.
Bryce is in the ice bucket challenge.
Bryce just poured water on his head twice.
What's my score?
I'm gonna have to give it an 8.99.
That's a 10.
Things I can't unsee. Can we give negative points?
It can't be negative because Xander's humming was too good.
I'm legitimately crying. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, if you're not like one said, if you're not watching the YouTube, you gotta go check it out. I am dying right now. That's top tier commitment. I can't lie.
Listen, if Xander is in the building, we gotta show out.
Bryce is currently still sitting in his seat, faces. Very wet, has wig off, has on.
Computer is wet.
Bryce's wig was looking like a squirrel that fell in the pool.
All right, Bryce, I think you lost that challenge, brother.
I gladly will lose it to a Zaddy Zand.
Oh my goodness. Can we keep this thing moving, Bryce? Is that all right?
Just want to let Zan know from that water pouring on me, I'm shivering.
We've got my jacket. Right here. I'll parachute into your yard. I got you, bro.
Oh my goodness. Back to Survivor talk. Xander, if these idols weren't so public and you didn't have to make these proclamations with them and say you just found an idol, would you have shared that information with anybody on your tribe, or how would you have changed your strategy if you would have found an idol that you would have just kept for yourself?
It would have been really interesting to see it play out, because that would have been the one thing, whereas like the extra vote, I'm telling everybody about it. I would have been able to keep the idol secret. Could have been like great for me at some point. It would have been nice to be like my own, you know, little thing that only I know about. And it would have been, I'm sure it would have come huge and handy, especially when people don't know that it's coming. And then I can actually like know that it's coming, maybe pull off a crazy move. The problem with my idol is that like it really hurt me every step of the way in so many different facets than I would have imagined. So not only does everybody know about it, so it's a huge target, but if I don't play it for people who are my allies when they're going home, it's almost the same as voting them out, at least in their eyes. Like I told Tiffany and Evie, I said I'd never write their names down, and I never did. That was like the promise that I would keep, but it wasn't enough because they knew it was within my power to save them. But, you know, it's just like when I have that and I'm telling them, especially because I had to overpromise, I had to say, this is for us, this is ours, this is like an us thing. Otherwise people were going to, you know, get wise and vote me out. So the way to try and keep it around is just to say, it's not mine, it's yours, it's ours, it's we, it's us, not me. It's not mine personally. And when you're telling people that and they believe it, it hurts a lot more when you don't actually end up, you know, giving it to them.
And I think a big thing that we've talked about in the past with your game is that, like you said, a lot of times people are surprised by the energy that you bring, the conversations that you're able to have. And especially because you're just a younger guy, people, you know, whether it's one in the final tribal council or discussing after, said that oftentimes they felt like some of the things you did was were disingenuous. When I really feel like, in having talked to you after, the bonds you built were genuine. You understood that at certain times you were going to have to let people go from the game, whether that's by voting them out or by not saving them. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Because I do think you hit the nail on the head with a lot of people just weren't ready to. At first, they didn't want to open up to you, and then they opened up to you and realized that they were surprised by their relationship with you, and then maybe that hurt even more for you to let them go from the game. Can you kind of elaborate on that?
Yeah, I think that was probably like the thing that hurt the most about my game. It's like, you know, the loss, you know, of course, it's going to be pretty devastating, but I can work past it. You know, I can let it fuel me. I can let it, you know, say like, hey, this is going to help me grow. This is going to help me mature. It's going to strengthen me and push me forward to that next bigger and better thing. Like, I'm not going to let it stop me. But to have a bunch of people say that, like, a lot of the bridges that you had built, especially when they meant so much, like Wendell and, you know, you were talking about how like real world it was and how important it was for so many people. Like, I felt that. I felt like our relationships were like so powerful and they meant so much. And so to be called like ingenuine and that like my character was brought into question multiple times at Final Tribal, that was pretty crushing. And at that point, it had less become about the win and more of just like defending my character, which it sucks that like that's what the argument ended up having to be. The thing that boggles my mind is like, we all know it's a game and we're coming into this game with the pretext of the fact that we're going to have to vote each other out. And maybe it's the fact that they just didn't think I was smart enough to make a move on them before they could make a move on me. But like, you can have these true real relationships and separate that from gameplay. I think maybe people thought that they got too intertwined and took it personally, especially because I was kind to everyone. Like, there was nobody I was mean to. There was nobody I was, you know, not showing like, you know, the best side of my humanity to. So a lot of people went back to Ponderosa and told the same stories of me keeping them warm and being kind to them. And they're starting to think maybe it's strategy. Maybe he's just like using this. Maybe he's not genuine. And so things like, I think the culmination of all of that is me giving up the reward for Erica. Like, it can be two things at once. Like, it doesn't have to be one thing or the other. Like, yes, it benefits me a lot strategically. I get to check the Sarah Lucina bench. I get to make bonds with the losers afterwards. And I get to make a bond with Erica. But I also like see that Erica's in pain. And like, as a human being, like, it's, I get the best of both worlds. I get to make a strategic move and help someone. Like, why wouldn't you take that opportunity? And, you know, grilled cheese is great. And I was like so hungry. You know, Tiffany was talking about how like I wouldn't have eaten it because I was paleo. I had two entire pizzas that, you know, on the pizza reward, like I would have broken any diet for food. I was 17 days of just coconut water. So I was so ready to eat. But you know what? It was worth it more to me to like further myself in the game and also as a human being. So, you know, like Erica's amazing. She's great. I love her. And so like to know that, like, you know, she came to me after that and was like, it really, like, she's been thinking of grilled cheese the entire time she was on Exile. And she was like, I manifested the fact that it was the grilled cheese award. And then I drew the gray rock. And I was like, well, then yeah, nobody should have to draw the gray rock twice. Like, if there's going to be some kind of luck element and I've been in a better position both times because I was on the bad tribe the first time around. But like, if I have the power to do something and like kind of fix those odds, it could also benefit me in other ways. Like, sure, I'm going to take that opportunity.
And if I could add to that real quick, I think the frustrating thing to me too, when talking about all of this is, and I don't want to like call anybody out necessarily, but there is a lot of hypocrisy in the season where, you know, a Ricard, for example, makes a huge move on Shan. And as a viewer, I'm like, hey, I can respect that move. And then you make a move by not saving Ricard when he's obviously the biggest threat in the game. And at least, you know, on the jury, I know you guys have a great relationship now, but on the jury, he's like, oh, well, you stabbed me in the back. Like, you can't really have it both ways in my mind. And as a viewer and as your friend, that was also a really frustrating element of it, because it's like, hey, if you were on season one and you were doing that, and that's kind of against everyone's like little moral code, then maybe that's how it goes. But this is Survivor 41. drop the four, keep the one, but it's as Jeff was just saying. But yeah, it's just like you said, it's a game, and the relationships are obviously real. And you know, to me, you could shake hands after it's all said and done, and be friends. But it's not always like that, and that's kind of a shame.
So can I ask a question, Xander? Like, sorry to cut you off about to answer, but this just on my spirit, and it's kind of like off the cuff a little bit. But like, I am curious, like your thoughts on like when people are like, when you said like, you know, two things can be true at once. Like I can actually be doing a good deed and I can actually be like helping my gameplay. And another thing that you said that kind of like rung to me was like, you know, I try to be nice to everybody and that like, you know, I want that. Like, can you see the opposite side of the coin of like, for me, it's like, and I feel like Wendell and I have this argument a lot of the time, is that when we meet someone, say Mr. Apple, Wendell's like, oh my God, it's a Macintosh Apple. I love it. Like, you know, and for me, I'm like, I don't trust that Apple. They ain't walk from the tree. Like, you know, I like, just because of the background of me being an openly gay Black man and the experience that I have experienced through my life, is like, I'm used to not being seen. I'm used to not being heard. I'm used to being ridiculed. There are things in me that make myself me. And so I say this to say that, like, again, Wendell and I have a lot of disagreements because, like, Wendell's like, you're always so negative, Bryce, at times. And I'm like, it's not that I'm negative. I just see life differently. And
a little more skeptical.
A little more skeptical. My upbringing and what I have been through. So I just question, don't get me wrong, like I'm pushing back on you a little bit in the sense of, you know, like when you say that they're coming against your character, like, could you see the flip side of it, of like, maybe it's not necessarily coming at your character, like calling you disingenuous. It's just like, maybe to others, it's like, I've never seen this before. It's too good to be true. And if it's too good to be true, then I can't trust it. And that's disingenuous. So not necessarily so much about you, just about where that person has come from. And if I've never seen a person that is going to give me the coat off their back, if I've never seen a person that is like going to be comfortable being around a gay man, if I never, like, you know what I mean? Like it oftentimes comes off like as an attack, when it's really like, I've never seen something like this before.
More self-defense. Yeah.
Right.
And that's why, like I said, initially it was so hard for me, like coming back fresh from the island. I was like running through like, oh my God, like, why do people like think I'm ingenuine? It's like, it's something that's come up in real life too. It is like that people are naturally untrusting of the fact that like, it just doesn't make much sense, especially given like the impression that I give off just by looking at me. I think that it is people go into like that self-defense mode because it doesn't seem like it would be real. And so in terms of like, yeah, it hurt a lot initially because I was so raw and malnourished and like coming out of the game. And now in like thinking about it long term and like just evaluating it, I did take it personally in the sense that like, I still hadn't eaten it all. And like, I played a game that I knew to be so true and to be so vulnerable. And I feel like it's hard being like vulnerable, and especially when, you know, you're going to like receive some flack for being like, so, you know, caring on a game when you're not supposed to be and honest and genuine or whatever. So then to like have that, like, bite me back, it was a little like, oh man, like, I mean, and of course, like, you know, you're so caught up in being out there on the island, it feels like your life, that like I started to bring into question, like, if all these people are saying this, like, is there something wrong with me? Is there something like, am I like, you know, what is it? Like, do I just give off like an impression of fakeness? I think I started thinking like, maybe people just think I'm like fake. I don't know. But then in terms of like having so much time to reflect, like, thank God the results came in on the island, because I had 6 months or 8 months to just reflect and connect back with myself. Think to myself, you know what? I never needed anybody to tell me that I was genuine in the first place. I know that I'm genuine. I know where my intentions lie. And if they don't want to believe that, then that's their loss. You know, like, I'm going to continue to be open with people, because I've had some experiences where like my kindness means that people will take advantage of it and like walk all over me. And it's a fine line to walk, to be kind and vulnerable and to not have the people who aren't the best actors like take advantage of that. So I think I was also carrying that burden of like, I know what it's like to be kind when I shouldn't for the wrong people and then have them use that against me. So it was just, it's hard to like know what the truth is. And so I thankfully had so much time to like actually evaluate, connect back with myself. And like, just at the end of the day, like it is just about making yourself proud. And I made myself proud because I told my genuine story. And if like, you know, I'm sure they've realized now that like, it's not just like an act that I put on out there on the island, but like that I genuinely do care. And so like, that's enough for me to know that like I knew out there. Yeah. And that the story knew and that, now they know. And it's not about proving to anyone, like that was never the point. It was more about just like, you know, making myself proud and giving back to the world.
And so now you know what I mean when I say the know-it-all, right? So If you have this know-it-all of like, if that was your perception, would that change your strategy at all, knowing what you know now?
I think the thing that would change it is like, yeah, I'm a very positive person. I'm super optimistic, but I choose to be. It's not that I'm not jaded. It's not that I'm unaware of like how, you know, ugly the world can be and how much like, you know, evil and bad and like just terrible things there are out there. It's like, you know, it's an indifferent cold universe. But at the same time, like when you're in a universe with no meaning, you can choose to find your own meaning. So I choose to see the light in the world. And that's a choice rather than me being naive. I think that people often mistake my positivity as naivety when actually it comes from a place of me being so jaded that I choose to be positive. So I think if people knew that, it changes things, because it's not just that I'm like, oh, everything's great, it's so positive, the world's amazing. It's more so that I'm like, you know, the world sucks, so make it a better place.
I like that.
Yeah. And like you were saying, I mean, you made us proud. You crushed the game. A lot of people think you deserve to win, but obviously the thing about Survivor is 17 out of 18 people aren't going to win. And I'm sure, that can come with a lot of like regrets. And not to say that, I feel like when we talked about this, I feel like you were kind of in a situation a lot of time where you were damned if you do, damned if you don't. A lot of the moves that helped you get farther in the game were also the moves that piss people off. And it's like, you know, Bryce asked if you might change your strategy, but a lot of that strategy was being genuine. And it's like, it would be so hard to be out there and then be not like hold back, restrain your genuineness. But just thinking about those regrets, is there anything that you wish you had done differently? Or even in your pitch to the jury, is there anything you wish you had been able to get across better?
No, it's funny talking back about like my feelings in pregame and in quarantine. Like there were some things more so than the win that like had value to me. Like I love the show as an art form, and I love its characters and how people bring new things to the show. And I feel like when you have so many super fans, a lot of people just want to draw from other players. Like I want to play a Tony game. I want to play, you know, a Wendell game. I want to play a Denise game or a Parvati game. And they're not bringing new things where it's like, you know, if you're your genuine self, you're adding a new element to this like cool scrapbook of like human facet, which is just like, it's a really fascinating thing when you analyze it. So I wanted to bring my own flair by being myself. And I did that. And I, you know, I was, I learned a lot and I felt like I was tested and pushed and I was able to show like the best of myself and, you know, sometimes the worst of myself. And it was very nice to have, like, I can appreciate the story more so than I can appreciate like, oh, you know, I didn't win. And I'm sure it would have been nice, but I really don't have any regrets because I think that I stayed true to myself and I played a game that I can be proud of and I liked the way everything went. Plus, you know, I think the problem with any argument at Final Tribal is that there's always two sides to every story. In the same way that you could argue that Erica was on the right side of every vote, you could also argue that she was in the majority and that if I were on the right side of the vote every time, I'd be voting out my allies and people would say, you idiot, they're never going to vote for you. I think it was a case where, you know, I had like, this was kind of like my Cochrane 1.0 game. It's a game where the moves that get me further in the game are going to be the ones that screw people over and they're going to be ones that people don't like. And sometimes it's just not in the cards and you can't let that get you down. So I'm going to use it to like going in. If there's, you know, something else in my life, I'm going to use it to like help me grow and, you know, use it to, yeah, just like become a better person. Cause that's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, a lot of the game, you did have that underdog arc where you weren't always naturally the person that people gravitated towards working with off the bat. So you were sort of scrapping for allies a lot of the time. So then, yeah, it is tough. Like, I think there's so many situations or different seasons or different compositions of characters where you're perceived differently. Like, you might have made every strategic move, like, optimally, like game theory optimally, however you want to describe it, yet certain people just aren't going to see that's the right move or whatever. And then that just leads to, that's why every season Survivor ends up so differently, because the jury is always different and they value different things in the game. You guys have any other thoughts on this?
Yeah. I mean, not necessarily like this. I want to know, like, Xander, like, I'm always so, I wish I could be more like you. And I feel like listening to you today, like, I admire you so much because it's like you choose to be positive. And I, like, I always say I'm on a road to a better Bryce. And I, like, truly wish that, like, I'm working towards that. And I just am so, I admire the fact that you at such a young age, even though we are rather close in age, I'm closer to age than you than I am with Wendell. But I want to know, off of the Survivor subject, like, what's something that gets the hairs on the back of your neck standing? Like, what's something that makes Xander mad?
Ooh, oh man.
Is this like Survivor pet peeves, Bryce?
Or at this point, I'm going for the soul. Like, I want to know, like, I am just so intrigued by Xander's demeanor, personality. Like, it's like, I just am curious, like, what's something. For me, it's like if I order French fries and I go to my ketchup in my refrigerator and I forget to shake it and that water comes out, like, that will send me to the roof.
It's really hard to make me mad. There just aren't a lot of things that tick me off. And it takes a long, like, time. It's got to be a bunch of things that build up. It's not going to be like, I'm not very reactive. I'll approach everything thoroughly and think it through before I actually, like, react. Again, like, something that we talked about before is a lot of that, like, everything has to be one way. It's right or wrong, black or white. Like, it's all absolutes. When I think a lot of things are grayscale, I think the internet today is very much like, things have to be one way. It's all right or wrong, good versus evil, when most of the time it's really just blurred and there can be things that are good about some things and bad about others. I mean, like, take recycling. Recycling is a great concept, but it's also, like, used to benefit people. The reason why America stopped recycling in most major cities is because China will stop, they stopped buying our recycled goods to turn into, like, you know, just raw materials. So the premise behind recycling was all for profit. And now it's, like, stopped in a lot of major cities, but it's still a great thing. Like, why wouldn't want people to stop recycling just because it's benefiting someone at the top? I mean, there can be things that are some good and some bad. And I don't think everything should be treated with absolutes. In terms of, like, personal things that irk me, I'm an organized person. Okay. And, like, you know, if people, like, yeah, I had, when I came back from Survivor, one of my roommates had someone living in my room, and it was just like, damn. Sent me just, I had to, especially coming after Survivor when you're so, like, emotionally vulnerable and they gaslit me. I was like, everything's off in the room. And they were like, no, like, what are you talking about? You're crazy. And it's like, that's
right. I know that. So I would imagine you must not go into Jack's room at your house a lot.
I had to move out of the house because I was worried about COVID. Right before, you know, we were flying out to Fiji. Fiji was very strict on everything COVID. So I was like, I'm not going to be near anyone. I'm in my room. I'm not chancing it. I want to be so isolated so that I don't get COVID. And because then, oh my God, if I had gotten COVID, that's it. And the Survivor dream's over. So I was so adamant on like doing anything by any means necessary to stay away from COVID. So I got an apartment with two guys who were also looking for an apartment. It wasn't like it was very thrown together last minute in a weird time, which is probably why it ended up being such a bad roommate situation. But you know what? It got me on the show, so I can appreciate that. And I'll take it for what it was. Like, never going to see him again. It's fine.
So are y'all cool or no? Nah? You and them.
This is some frat tea right here.
Oh. This is some frat tea. Well, I'm never gonna like hold grudges. I understand that they're going through their own things, and at the end of the day, it's like I can be the bigger person and just say, hey, you know what? I'm not gonna like, you know, give you that trust where you can like hurt me. I'm not gonna like let you live in anywhere I live anymore. But, you know, if I see you somewhere out, I'm gonna be like, hey, how's it going? Like, I hope you're well. You know, I wish you all the best. I'm sure that it was something. That's the thing with a lot of people is that when they do negative things, it's usually because they got something going on that's affecting them. You know, if someone's mean or they're, you know, whatever, doing something bad, it's because they're envious, they're jealous, they're sad, whatever it is. People don't do bad things unless they've got their own problems.
And so sometimes it's not ill intention, but it's just their perception of the situation doesn't line up. And so you're not mad at them. You're just like, I can't be, just, we're just on different wavelengths.
That's also completely true. Yeah. So I'm like very like forgiving in that aspect. It's like, yeah, we're not, there's no beef there.
Xander, taking a step back and looking at your Survivor game, do you think there was like a defining moment in your game, or do you think that there's something that you think that people will remember you for?
I'd say that last episode really had me in tears, you know, giving the hug to Jeff after winning the last challenge. It was like, it really was. I mean, I just can't describe how like everything, it was always like on guard, always fighting, always being on the bottom and trying to like scrap. And so for me to like win that last challenge and know that even though I had like guaranteed it for a couple moves before that, to like really solidify, like no more jokes, like this is it, I'm going to the finale, I get a chance to pitch my case, that's all I want, and that I have the power to choose who gets to step in the fire, knowing that it was going to be my choice was more important to me than making the right choice, because I wanted it to be in my hands, and that was more important to me. So like everything just kind of washed over me in that moment. It was like the most relief I've ever felt, and I think that translated on TV, that people just understood that like, oh my God, like the stress and the tension and the fighting and just like all the passion and heart that I had left out there on the island, it could finally like, I could rest after I won that challenge.
And definitely just, like, translated
a cool moment with Jeff, because I mean, everything I said in that was like, it's completely true. I just like never, when I was a kid, I like never saw myself as someone to be on Survivor. And so now to be someone on Survivor who also did fairly well, it's just more than a pipe dream. And I've gotten a lot of messages that have just been, you know, bringing me to tears about people who are inspired. And they like, it's honestly so great to know that like, I wished I had an older brother to tell me that like, hey man, like, you know, don't doubt yourself, believe that you can do anything and you'll impress yourself with all that you can accomplish. And now like I can be that to a lot of people who don't believe in themselves and doubt themselves and don't think they can go out there and do it. And like, I can be the one to say, hey, listen, you know, you think I'm great. Well, I didn't think I was great for the longest time. So you can be whoever you want to be in this world. You don't have to be, you know, like born with the genetics of like Joe Anglim. You can go out there and
scratch. You don't want to. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
On this podcast though, Xander, I'm really big on like I said, giving yourself flowers and self-reflection. What is something that you would say to that 11-year-old Xander, like, and you just coming off of a great season, you getting to the final three, like, what is like one piece of advice that you would give to that 11-year-old Xander?
I'd say definitely, like, know that change starts with you, that like when you decide that you want something, like, let it take over, let it, don't let anything get in your way. Believe that you're unstoppable and that like if you want to chase something, like, you can do it. It's not outside of the cards. There's really nothing outside of the cards.
Yeah. And then I got to ask real quick, just to wrap up sort of the game discussion. I don't think I've asked you this before. Say somehow you ended up going home at the final four. And the final three is Deshaun, Erica, and Heather. Who do you think you cast your vote for?
Deshaun, Erica, and Heather?
Yeah.
That'd be a tough one, because I think something that was interesting is that, you know, Deshaun didn't get a lot of votes, even from his own alliance, when I really valued Deshaun's ability as a spokesman. He's an amazing speaker, very passionate, very genuine, very real. And I really appreciated that because I appreciate the show as art. And he's, you know, an artist, so to speak, in the way that he like talks at Tribal Council. He was great at that. I can also value Erica's gameplay and her strategy and laying low, and you know, the fact that, you know, her story too, and just like being a woman in the workplace and being underestimated because like she was the other underdog, and I know how hard it is to be an underdog and to just scrap your way. So I of course would appreciate like her gameplay in the sense that it was very similar to a certain extent to mine in like the role. At least she was never, you know, the kingpin, whereas Deshaun did have a lot of power throughout the game. I think to cast my vote in the end, probably Erica. That's the thing about like groupthink on Ponderosa is, if you know everyone else is voting for Erica, it's a lot easier when you're on the fence to just say, oh, I guess I'll give it to Erica. Mm. I really like them both, and it'd be a super hard decision, and I really wouldn't know unless I were in the moment with the raw feeling of, yeah, like, yeah. They've both had so much going for them that like,
and Heather.
Yeah, and Heather. That was the coolest thing about the final three, like with me, Erica, and Deshaun, is I was like, I really wanted this to be a great season. It's first time Survivor, been back in a year, like everybody, myself very much included, missed it, and like I really wanted to be a part of like a season that people liked. So I thought that no matter who won out of myself, Deshaun, and Erica, yeah, it'd be a likable, like, good spirit.
Yeah.
Wendell, you have a question?
Do I? Oh, yes, I do. Sorry. It's the wine, I guess. How do you think the shorter game of Survivor impacted the way you and others played? And do you think you would have benefited from a longer game?
I think I would have benefited from a longer game. I'm very into the survival elements. Like I said, the finale, you know, I love being hungry. I love being, you know, tired. I love being, you know, I'll eat the adrenaline. Like I can kind of feed off of the fact that like, oh man, I'm out here and I'm struggling. Like I really am in love with that struggle. And I think that comes from my running career, because when I started, I was just such a terrible runner that it was always like huffing and puffing and like really just like so painful. And I started to fall in love with like telling myself like, no, you're not going to feel the pain. Like you're going to work through it. You're going to push harder. You're going to fight past it and like just break through that wall. So for me, like Bryce is nodding his head because he's a runner too.
Yes.
Bryce understands.
Don't do that, Wendell, please. Yes, I get it. I 1,000% get that, Xander.
You should get him featured on Legs of a Runner.
I don't know what that is.
Maybe y'all should go on a run together and we could see who's a real runner.
We'd be too busy chatting. We just like, you know, jog and we just chat.
What a nice guy you are, Xander.
But yeah, I think that like I really loved the survival element of it. I would have liked a longer season. I don't know which one is harder. Obviously, it's like easy to say in the moment, like this is the hardest season ever. And, you know, of course, like the you know,
we heard
that up. Yeah. But yeah, it's like it's hard to know which is harder. I'm sure longer days would have been interesting, especially in the sleep aspect of it. I know that that's something that's an underrated like fact that really gets to people. People start getting cranky because they're not getting sleep. I never had any problem with that. I have this weird ability to sleep anywhere, even when it's raining. It was really nice. But yeah, so like, I think the main thing, the main difference between 26 days and 39 days is that there's not as much time post-merge to make those bonds with other people. I was expecting the traditional like Ua and Yasa bond against the overdog Luvu. Didn't happen. Everybody stuck with their pre-merge pairs. So think about all the relationships post-merge. They're all pre-merge pairs. You've got Erica and Heather. You've got Danny and Deshaun. You've got Shan and Ricard. The only person who broke away was Liana and myself because we were at the bottom of our Yasa group. So Evie and Tiff, they stuck together. And you've got all these pairings of people who are just pre-merge relationships because there wasn't actually enough time to dig your roots in and make those close bonds with the newer people. So that's it's kind of sucks when you know if you get a bum hand with the people you start out with and they don't respect you. So like, you know, Evie and Tiff, great people, but didn't really respect me as a player. It sucks because you don't have anyone else to really try. And I had to go lone wolf, and I had to just convince people to keep me around enough, but I could never make those super strong relationships until way later in the game when I'd had enough time. That's why when, you know, later on in the game, I actually become really close to Ricard, and I become really close to Heather, and I become really close to Erica. It's because it took a lot of time to get those relationships in. Because like you said, Bryce, nobody wants to just like trust someone they just met. You're going to default to the person that you at least have the experiences behind, especially when that guy is someone who's saying, hey, I want to help you out. Like, I'm a fine person. Like, you know, we're playing a game, but like, I can still love you as a human being. Like, nobody's going to trust that. So yeah, it was interesting with the 26th day, season that a lot of the pre-merge relationships were super, super important. And I think it would have made me refactor how I approached the pre-merge, because I was very fine with a Matt Singh type thing. I don't think I would have been if I had known that 26 days would have affected relationships so much. But at the same time, that changes everything. So, you know, I think I'd like to play a 39-day season and see how it goes. Of course, getting both sides of the story would be a really incredible like experiment to see like how they differ. I think 39 probably would have suited me better.
Well, that being said, the question that's probably on a lot of the listeners' minds is, would you do another season if you're offered?
I think I would. It really depends on what's going on. Yeah, I mean, like, it's easy to say like, oh yeah, I think I would. Like, oh my god, it's addicting out there. It's just like, it's such a drug. And so I definitely would say yes. The only thing that would hold me back is I am working on an app right now. So if I were, you know, I'm probably going to release within the next couple of months. And if it were to be something that really takes off, then that is going to be something that hinders me a little bit from wanting to go back if it's at a critical time. But, you know, anything else, then it'd be pretty easy to say, you know what, I'm going back. I'll try my hand at it. I know what it's like to have the odds stacked against me. So even if I did have a big target, I think it'd be fun to work with that. And at the very least, I get another cool experience being out there.
Yes. I know you, Xander, you said, you know, 39 days. They say it's tough. You know, you saying 26 days is tough. Baby boy, try 11. Okay.
That's as hard as it gets, huh?
Woo. Chalet.
Difficult.
Try zero. Man, the circle gets to almost top of there.
MLA. Wendeezy, do you have the final question for Zaddy Xander?
I guess I do. First of all, we want to thank you so much for, listening to the Purple Pants podcast and listening to Survivor News. This is the first time with the three of us doing it this season.
Me and Jack are vets. Okay.
That's why I said the three of us. So thank you very much. We know you're a member of the Purple Pants posse. Is there anything that you need to get off your chest? This is a safe space. Did we say anything? Do we have any misreads? This is your time to just speak your piece. If you need to tell Bryce to leave you alone, say it. You know, whatever you have for us, we're here for you, man.
Not at all. I think that's like the beautiful thing about this group is that like the open discussion, like Bryce, you weren't afraid to offer the other opinion for like why I might be feeling, hurt, or at least I was at one point. And I think that's great. Like that discussion, that's what more people should be looking for. It's the opinions that challenge us that are going to be the ones that help us grow and understand each other. And it's not about, you know, I'm right, you're wrong. It's about, you know, just understanding and hearing each other out. So I love you guys were amazing. It was amazing to talk about the season and just incredible experience to listen to you guys talk about the season as well, because this was the dream, and to hear, you know, you guys talking about it, especially you making it so fun, doing like, you know, your water bottle challenges and Bryce, when I gotta say, I could not stop laughing when you said you wanted to be the bench with the I chose not to text you about it, but
you grab the advantage.
Oh, idiot.
Honestly, though, but truly, I appreciate that so much, Xander, because sometimes, like before, some people don't know how to take my type of humor from the person that I am, and that I'm just grateful that, one, I was able to meet a person like Jack that instantly connected, Wendell, my brother, and then for me to have met you, and I'm just super appreciative of it. And before I wrap it up, the other day I was on the phone with Wendell, and Wendell was like, do you remember when you asked me a friend test? I do stuff like that, because I just randomly, Wendell and I were on the phone, and I was like, Wendell, a friend test, what's the name of my turtle? But so pause that, Jack, friend test, what's the name of my turtle?
Can I get like a multiple choice?
Okay, so we're gonna keep it moving.
Becky?
No. Okay.
It's not Patty. Is it Patty?
I'll give you three choices, Jack.
All right.
Emily, Kimmy, or Notori.
It's Kimmy.
Okay, friend.
Little Kim.
So, Xander, your friend test to test if you are a member of the Purple Pants Posse. Could I possibly get a line from the iTunes charting theme song Purple Pants Podcast?
Yeah, you better get your wine and come right back.
No!
No, is that not it?
It was, I mean, you did the remix a little bit.
You did the country version. You better get your wine back and come on back.
Bring that ass back here. Purple
Pants Podcast. It's a purple.
Is it
it's a purple.
Grab your boxed wine and come right back?
It's a Purple Pants Podcast. Oh, you yes. better get your boxed wine and hurry right back. Ooh. Okay.
Bryce but, messed it up too, though.
It's all right.
Unwind. You better get that box one.
But honestly, Xander, the sky is the limit. I am truly humbly grateful and honored that you would come on this platform. I'm even more honored to call you a friend. I speak for the guys alone, but it was just an amazing experience to watch you play, to hear your thought process, just to see the dynamic, amazing young man that you are. It was truly an honor. Thank you so much for being a part of the Purple Pants Podcast. It really means the world to us in the posse. And for you guys at home, listening and watching, we appreciate you. We out. So maybe on the count of three, we could do an Issa. Okay. What? Wait, now let me get on the Xander tune. It's a one. It's a two.
It's a two.
It's a one, two, three. Issa.
Issa. It's a Purple Pants Podcast.
It was giving real dry.
Okay.
We out, y'all. I got to go show my friend the buffs my dad gave me.
Xander, thank you so much, man. You're a real stand-up guy, man. Thank you for taking the time.
Yes, sir.
And that is going to conclude our interview with Xander Hasting, contestant on season 41. A huge shout out to Xander for granting the Purple Pants Podcast this exclusive interview. A huge shout out to CBS for granting this episode. A huge shout out to all of the RHAP people that put in the extra time to make this podcast so special. If you have not already, please make sure you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. Baby, we there. Hit the subscribe button. Give your baby boy some 5 stars. Write a review. Head on over to the YouTube and watch the video as well. I think you'll get a little kiki out of it. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, Bryce Isaiah. Subscribe, hit that button. Give me some 5 stars, okay? And remember to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell a friend that it's Zaddy Xander, because it's a.
It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. She's trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. She's trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.